are tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. That's JD. He's special to the pod.
Yay, we got it. Hey, Liz, special to the pod. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm feeling special. I'm doing okay. I'm fine. I'm good. It's fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. No, everything's not fine. I even changed my little, I have the worst depth perception. I even changed my little shark to angry.
Oh no.
Yeah. He's sad that we lost.
We can't really have plushies around the house because Blue would eat them immediately. Mm-hmm. But if we hide it, I really want to get Rise, the little moon plushie that the Artemis astronauts have on board. As they call it, an anti-gravity or a no gravity indicator, because it's what floats around and it's something soft that can float around freely. And it's so cute. It's designed by like a kid. And like apparently when it came out, everyone was hating on it, but how can you hate on that thing? It's so cute. So hopefully NASA.
I love how you got mass producing Artemis in a minute 30 into the podcast.
Well, you literally pointed out a plushie and it was on my mind. So
okay.
That's actually gonna be the only mention of it. I you know what, it would have been a funny bit though if I like started saying terms like moonshot or like throughout the whole pod, like I worked it in. But I didn't do that, so just pretend I did and be impressed. One thing that is sun related, but that's not necessarily related to anything we're going to talk about on the show, is the sun's graphics on social media have been pretty cool. And I recently I commented on like a post about how good they were, and Josh Kramer, the designer, the new sun graphic designer, liked my comment and was like, thanks. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. People, we were talking about it in the Heatwave Discord this week, how good the sun graphics have been basically since I feel like maybe he was picked up during the midseason break. So like just since 2026, but yeah, Josh Kramer is the man behind those, recently graduate graphic design. And now he's at the sun and still doing some freelance work. His site has a lot of good work on it. So I just wanted to give him a shout out because I feel like graphic designers and social media people sometimes get underappreciated, even though that's like the primary way we interact with the team. And when we have news like we do about a goal of the month, team of the month kind of things, the graphics look really good. He makes our players, I mean, they are fire, but he makes the graphics celebrating their accomplishments look fire too. So I had that on my mind and wanted to give him a shout out off the top. But speaking of his graphics and his goal of the month graphic, he had to make one this week for Faith Weber, who scored that wonderful kind of like kicked it up to herself and then just looped it right over the defense against DC a couple weeks ago. Fantastic goal, like not necessarily a solo goal. I think there was an assist on it, but she just did a great job finishing and just making sure that it got in the back of the net, despite like two or three defenders standing between her and the net. So really great goal from Faith, and overall a really great last couple games from her. I mean, she's been involved on the score sheet twice. And even in this game against Carolina, we're about to review, she was involved and had a couple chances. So well-deserved goal of the month for her. And that's goal of the month is a social media voted as well. So Emery Wegner was up for save of the month, and she didn't win. I don't remember who won because it doesn't matter because it's not a Sun player. But yeah, Faith won based off of people's votes, hopefully primarily Sun fans' votes. So good for her.
I think it was Fort Lauderdale.
It was Fort Lauderdale. The only thing I checked was if it was against us. Because if somebody wins goal of the month and they're scoring on you,
yeah,
like I have to take notice of that. Or if somebody wins save of the month and it was like, because then you can like justify if save of the month was against us, then I'd be like, oh, we should have won that game, but they had save of the month, you know. So that's my coping mechanism.
shout out and Wegner, we trust. She was robbed. That was definitely save of the month.
Yeah, very good. But speaking of the month, Liz, who else got recognized this month?
Taylor Chisholm, quickly becoming a favorite here in RBLR, and I think in general, she's really been putting in the work these last couple of matches.
Yeah.
So very well deserved.
Yes. And also Faith was on the team of the month as well. So both of them getting, and that was the first team We've had players, I think we've had players on the bench, but we haven't had many appearances on like the first team. Cause I don't know if you guys know, we haven't been great this year.
No.
So we had 1 month where we were, and two of our players earned honors because of it. So yeah, congrats to Faith and Taylor. You're recognized. And both of you are still like now 4 months into being professional players. So super impressive to be recognized league wide, you know, some kind of league wide recognition for first month or first quarter, like I'm corporate, you know, first 6 month pros.
Yeah.
Especially Taylor. I mean, she's really, really sick. So that's cool. And we are also though getting her some help in defense, because we had a new signing in true Sun tradition. Our podcast came out the morning of April 2nd, and they announced the signing the evening of April 2nd. And it's been a really long time since he didn't.
They're screwing with us. They're screwing with us at this point. At this point, they're like, when does the podcast drop? Next day.
That's
when we announce.
That's literally it. They're like, we can announce any point during the week, so it'll be right the same day RBLR. But it gives us something to talk about, even though it feels like it was a really long time ago. So Anna Hilferty,
eternity ago.
Yes, it was a while ago. But Anna Hilferty. I already forgot. We talked about it immediately pre-show. If I say it fast enough, I think it's Hilferty with more of an I. Was signed on a permanent to the Tampa Bay Sun FC. She is a defender, primarily a left back. She actually started offensively in college, and then they moved her to left back. She was still involved in a little bit of scoring for Boston University. She was signed as a free agent, so she did not have a previous club, or we didn't sign her from a club. She previously was with the Houston Dash, but her longest pro stint was with Washington Spirit. So NWSL experience, I think she has around 50 total NWSL games played between the two clubs. And she was I don't remember the exact number. She was, I think, the 19th pick in the 2021 NWSL draft. So at one point, she was rated pretty well. Unfortunately, the end of her Spirit career was a back-to-back ACL injury. So she had one. She came back and in the game, tore it again. That sounds very familiar to us. Hopefully it does not happen again. She was kind of released from her Spirit contract, or they didn't re-sign her. And then the Dash picked her up, and she did not play a lot. And I didn't really see why, other than maybe she just wasn't first pick or second pick for that position. So she only ended up playing 4 games for the Dash, but she has NWSL experience. Her college career was good. And what I like about this signing, because it seems like these kinds of signings at this point in the season are less to try and save this season and are more looking towards the future overall. She has a lot more experience at the professional level than a lot of our recent signings. Now, Faith Weber and Taylor Chisholm have been doing a fantastic job, as we just highlighted. So I have no complaints about the fact that some of our recent signings are fresh out of college. Some of the other ones haven't got to play as much. We haven't seen a lot of Peyton Parsons, and even less so of a couple of the other ones that haven't even got on the bench yet. It seems like we're kind of building something. We're developing some of these players. And maybe if we don't end up making the push towards the playoffs, maybe we'll see our squad rotate a little bit more. I mean, obviously now we want to be playing our first squad while we still are mathematically in it. But she brings some good experience and bolsters what I think has been a pretty mid defense. And if she's better than the players we have, at least in form, you know, I have a lot of respect for all the players on our roster, but form-wise, you know, some of them have just had struggles. So I'd like to see maybe if she can come in and pick that up a little bit at the end of the season, but looking forward to the future as well. She might be our starting left back. We don't know. Haven't seen her play much. So we will see about that. We did see her play just a little bit in our game this past week against Carolina. Liz, give me the rundown.
So it was on Easter. I think the attendance, by the way, was only like 1400 something. It was not a well-attended game.
Is that counting the eggs? The 300 eggs or whatever that...
Probably, so 1100. Here we go. A little bit different of a lineup this time. Up top, we had Nocello, Weber, and Pokorny. Right behind her, we had Listro, Provo, and Gaillard. And our back line was McNeil, Chisholm, Bissett, and Haugen. With Beardsley notably in goal. Not sure why it wasn't Sydney Schneider, unless she's trying to make absolutely sure nothing happens. She was called up again for the Jamaican national team. And it turns out Wegner was sick. Everybody knew this but us, because we looked at the game notes and then we didn't look to see if they updated them.
Yes. I wish I was in the know, because at the time I was very confused. Hopefully she's feeling better. I definitely like Emery Wegner. She's had a great run of games when she started. And I do, I think it was, I think Sydney is focusing on her national team. I think that's why Liz came in a little bit earlier in the season as well, right before the international window. Yeah. Although Liz was called up in the same international window, but those are under 23 national team games. So not as essential for her duties there. So yeah, that might be why, but it just, in the moment, it was like Beardsley hasn't even been on the bench and then she's starting, Schneider's still on the bench, and where the hell is Emery Wegner? Hopefully she's feeling better.
Yeah. Emery, can you get better, please?
Yes.
No offense, Liz Beardsley. Just, can we get Emery back?
Yeah, so let's move into how the game went. In the first 5 to 10 minutes, the Sun were on the front foot. We came out pretty strong at home. I saw some of that motivation that we've had in the last few games, and I saw some sparks. Go ahead.
We didn't do the bench.
Oh. Yeah.
The bench is helpful. Sorry. I just never remembered. I just realized that. Giamona, Helferty, Hendricks, Maddie Parsons, Peyton Parsons, Schneider, like we said, and Shimkin.
Sorry. Yes. You didn't have to like speed run it, you know, but that's okay. So yeah, the Sun came out pretty strong, I would say. Weber actually did have a few chances in the first 5 minutes. Two shots, not on goal, but there was some spark there. Those are the kinds of things that you see really early in a game that you're like, okay, we're kind of on the front foot. After that, I learned that we were not on the front foot, as Carolina brought much more intense pressure pretty much from like the 15th minute onward in the first half. And we could not manage to get out of our final third for anything. We were clearing, like it was bad decision-making, not connecting passes, definitely not finding space to be open and move the ball around. It was basically just like a defender clearing it, a Carolina player picking it up at midfield, and they get another attacking sequence over and over and over. It was pretty frustrating to watch. Even though we have absorbed pressure pretty well in our last few games, I would say DC and Dallas, especially Dallas, laid on a similar amount of pressure. They looked very similar and we were absorbing it in a very similar way. So I'm not necessarily thinking that this is a bad thing for the Sun. I would like us to, when we absorb the pressure and get possession at the end, if one of our, you know, center backs has the ball, I would like her to not immediately boot it upfield and give away possession again. We could build a little more out the back. But I, at this point in the game, like live, I was thinking, okay, we've absorbed pressure like this before and we still won against DC and we still won against Dallas. So I was feeling optimistic. We didn't look collapse. We didn't look terrible. But needless to say, Carolina kept getting opportunities over and over. And they were pressuring goal. They didn't force Beardsley into a save until I think like the 25th minute. She didn't even really get a hand on the ball unless it was like a back pass. And we just allowed them to keep pushing in and pushing in until the 28th minute. I know you don't want to talk about it.
Because I still maintain that was the softest foul for a PK in the history of the universe.
It's pretty bold.
Sandrine doesn't even push her. If you go back and watch, she just kind of turns her like she's trying to get like ahead of her. And she just goes down. It's like when Bissett gave up the PK because she just happened, like she was already falling kind of thing.
You want me to read my paragraph on it?
Yeah, okay. I already saw it. I don't like it.
Sandrine tugs the attacker's arm and that is a foul in the box, which is a penalty kick. I agree. She stumbles over the ball. So the moment where she almost falls, she didn't fully fall, but the moment where she almost fell and then the whistle went, I was like, that's literally nothing. And it was nothing. It wasn't a foul, but the foul had already happened before. The ref paused to play advantage as she stepped to the ball. And then once it was clear that the Sun gained possession, then she called the foul, which is how it's supposed to be done. Unfortunately, because the timing sucks, and in person it looked terrible. But Sandrine does fully pull her back. If it was a jersey tug, it would have been more obvious. Since it was her arm, it just kind of looks like a running motion. But if you watch the replay back, she definitely is not able to move forward because of Sandrine. It's a foul in the box. It's PK. Sucked. And Aguilar converts. So Carolina goes.
It's the most annoying type of foul. It's technically a foul.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's even possibly soft, but the rules of the game are that the ref can call that. You know, I don't think it was an incorrect call. It's just my initial reaction was there was nothing, and then it turns out there was on replay. So pretty frustrating. I think there is another time. I don't remember if it was right before this or after it, but there was another like player that went down in the box for Carolina that was like shoulders coming together, and the ref in the moment did a really good job signaling that it was like a 50-50 thing. I want to give more respect to this referee than I yelled at her during the game. I want to go back. There are a couple moments where I think she made pretty good calls, and I think she called the game pretty fairly. We will talk about the second goal in a few minutes, but I think she called the game pretty fairly to the best of her abilities from where she was standing on the field. And there were sequences that could have been called.
Ryan going to have to go apologize because he heckled her?
No, she already owned him by giving
that's true.
Cards. So, I think she knew. I think she knew she called a pretty okay game, and that we are just the home fans, and everywhere she goes, the home fans are always going to have something to say. So, fair enough.
I like to think I'm pretty fair.
I saw the replay, and I realized that I was in the wrong. So, fine. There are a couple other sequences, like I said, that I think she made pretty appropriate calls. One thing that we didn't catch in person is that in the 32nd minute, Jordan Lisserow badly clears the ball and it lands directly on a child's head, right behind the Carolina bench. It was a Carolina fan / family member. They were sitting right behind the bench, so I assume a Carolina family member visiting, you know, they live in Florida.
Yeah.
Teams come into town, take the kid out, get the little bucket hat on. Super cute. The Tampa Bay Sun will not see heaven for this.
yeah. Jordan,
reason why the ball was that far out of bounds on like a middle of the park, not even insanely bouncing clearance. She just like boots it.
I did feel bad. That little kid, like they stopped for a minute, and it's like they had to fully register what just happened, and then they were like, oh, like crying.
The kid was an enemy in like a Mario game, they were killed.
Like, yeah.
So yes, even though it was a Carolina fan, it's not okay. Jordan Lister, be better.
No.
Obviously not intentional, but
I feel like we have a history of this. Like there was two balls that actually somebody, I think two people caught it because it went to the
Yes. No, that's what the commentator on Peacock said. Was they had mentioned how the one fan behind the net was really, they caught like two in a row, and then the ball hit the kid and they were like, they didn't seem to catch that one. And I was like, that's crazy. That was really funny. So
yeah.
Anyways, RIP to that kid. But you know, you were a Carolina fan, so maybe not a huge loss. Yes, this is after the PK, we actually did put a little bit of pressure on. You know, the same as every team wants to respond after they get a goal scored against them. We were a little hard done by the PK, but ultimately the Sun could not fix whatever was happening. Like I said, I feel like it's like a stress thing. I feel like under pressure, we didn't score early, and then we just ran out of ideas and we just couldn't figure it out. And that kind of takes us through the rest of the half, and Carolina gets a few attacking sequences.
45th plus one, I do have to say, Beardsley comes in huge. She jumps, I think, with as much might as she has and gets as tall as she can. Gets all the way to the crossbar, the top of the bar. It's to keep a ball out. It would have gone in, yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah, definitely on
frame. That would have been their second goal.
Yeah. Yeah, and shout out to Liz here. I wanted to pause before we talk about the next thing, because it's pretty quick after, and say, yeah, this was a huge save. And like you said, she gets up there and she gets over too. I think it's like 5 foot to her right, as well as up at the top of the crossbar. Yeah, and the slow motion replay for sure has it going in. So huge save. Shout out Liz Beardsley. And then off of the resulting corner, unfortunately, Tyler Lucy brings it back across the face of goal, and Nabet is waiting to hit it into the net. I said taps it in my notes. It is not with her foot, and it's not with her head, and it's some part in the middle that the referee thought was a chest or a shoulder, and I'm pretty sure was an elbow. Or an arm, upper arm. Our view from the heat wave standing right behind that goal at this end of the field down here, where she's facing us, I'm 10 feet away, 15 feet away, and I'm pretty sure it went off her arm. It's coming across the face of net, and she's moving like chest forward straight. So for her to like deflect it in, she would have had to been turned a lot more for it to have convincingly hit her chest. What was angled conveniently was her arm out on the back post. So from my opinion, this is AR, center referee, got it wrong, maybe didn't have a great angle on it, but very frustratingly, Carolina gets their second goal off of Nabet tossing it into the net. Basically, it was tough. We all saw it in the heat wave. There's at least one Sun player that, you know, made the handball motion on the field. I feel this feels a little hard done. It feels a little unlucky, I would say, in terms of how that all panned out. And she was just so close to the back post there that there was no way she was going to not let it go in, but I'm pretty sure she gets an arm on it. The cameras aren't high resolution enough. They're not slow-mo. I would love if we just had like one game where we had like the Premier League camera set up with like 50 cameras and goal line, and
not even Premier League. Give me NWSL.
Yeah. Well, it must be very expensive because we don't have it. So
I know, but like the quality is kind of ridiculous. The difference. Yeah. In the cameras, like I really like watching NWSL matches.
Yeah. So that is Carolina's second goal, and it is 45 plus two. It is right before halftime. It didn't feel like a dagger, but it might have been one. Like in hindsight, just not sure how we were going to bring it back into that. Not for lack of trying. So by halftime, Liz, what were you thinking? How did you feel about the first half?
My first thought was, what even is our formation? I know we have a very free-flowing formation. I like to make the joke that Nocello's position is the field. However, I don't know if maybe we were trying something a little bit different. Maybe we were man-marking, and I think this was pulling us out of position. But there are times when Nocello and Pokorny are trying to pick up the ball from the defense, and they're not letting the midfield do their job. And it's one that's extra running, like Nocello doesn't run enough, and Pokorny, because she's just like a second Nocello. It's kind of great, actually. But it, not when they're both trying to get the ball instead of just letting the ball get sent to them. Seems like wasted energy. It feels like it was screwing us up in trying to get anything done, trying to get out of our half, our third at that point.
Yeah.
It was frustrating.
I agree. I think part of that is that they were trying to fill the hole of us not being able to pass off the back line. Like the attack is coming, you know, and we get possession and we clear and we just clear and clear and clear. And like every once in a while, you got to try to connect a pass through midfield. You got to hold, you got to retain possession in the midfield, and they were not doing it. So then I feel like, I mean, Nicello is like the ultimate self-starter. She wants things to get done and she steps in and tries to do it. And I feel like that's where some of that comes from. And she's like, we are not getting the ball forward. I will take it. And there were the few sequences where we did make it across halfway in that part of the game was Nicello dribbling it and taking it herself. So kind of frustrating. I totally am in agreement with you. But my view as well is that we were unlucky to be down two. We absolutely were not deserving of a goal, maybe in the first 5 minutes when Weber had some chances, but we, between a soft penalty and a handball that seemingly wasn't seen, I don't think we really deserved to be down two. We handled the pressure well. The defense came away with the ball more often than not. And in the one savable, like really good chance, Liz Beardsley came up with a fantastic save. So I don't think we really deserved to be down two. It looked a lot worse. It felt a lot worse, especially because we thought there were non-calls, you know, that I think we played better than it seemed. Like I said, we absorbed the pressure in the DC and Dallas game in a very similar way, and we won those games, only conceding one goal across both. So, yeah, kind of an interesting way to see it because it was rough. And also, Carolina is really good. Carolina is better than DC or Dallas. They had better opportunities. They were opening us up with more consistency than DC or Dallas were able to. So, they're absolutely deserving of their spot in the table right now. Third place, they're making a push. They are getting stronger as playoffs approach, and they want to lock it in, and they want to be that, you know, they might be able to catch Lexington, but they definitely want to lock in being at least third place, and they're playing like it. And that's how I want us to look, but we have to go up against Carolina. So they, you know, they just kind of shook us up in the first half, and they kept their composure and kept it solid. So yeah. And the stats kind of reflect that too. The Sun had 5 shots, only 2 on target, and 47% possession with only 1 corner and a yellow card. Carolina had 2 goals from the 8 shots. 3 were on target, so not a huge difference there, but just a lot more opportunities. They had 53% of the ball with 3 corners, one of which led to a goal, and 1 yellow in the first half. Not really a chippy game. Another thing I think the referee did well was handle temperament, and an incident happened at the end we'll talk about. But yeah. And then the halftime subs coming out on the second half, Provo came off, Hailfordy came on, and Haugen came off, and Hendricks came on. Liz, how do you see that kind of shaking up the formation?
So Bissette moved into our right back slot, which is new for her. More in just like a true defender. I'm so bad at position, so I'm the wrong person for this part, but she's moving into a different spot. And I think she handles it pretty well. It's to move Henny more into the center where she normally plays.
Yeah. And Hailfordy as well was playing more of a center role. So, and coming out in the second half, we looked better. Just like at the start of the game, we had a few chances right off the bat. Good pressure, kind of caught him off guard a little bit, but nothing ultimately even really notable about the first 10 minutes of the second half. We didn't look like the first half. The changes we made a little bit of a difference in our formation. And just to reference, because we don't make any more defensive subs for the rest of the game, we didn't concede a goal in the second half. So whatever we want to say about the defensive unit, as we're finding the optimal group of players, or maybe we're looking towards next season even this early, but the math says we should, then we didn't concede a goal in this half against, again, I think Carolina is a very quality team, so that's something to look at. Maybe Bissette out wider, maybe Hailfordy in the middle a little bit more, maybe Hendricks is getting more comfortable. Those are some like positives that kind of showed itself in the second half, just because our defensive subs happened right at halftime. And then our next sub was in the 57th minute with Pokorny coming out and Giamona coming in. I've had mixed feelings about Carly Giamona. She obviously scored a great, like, taking advantage goal in Dallas. She just took advantage of the situation. Great heads up play. So a lot of credit for that. But overall, her performances since 2026 started, even at the end of last year, I was not super inspired by. I like the idea of her coming in later to be, to have different, like to be fresh legs and, you know, like with her heads up play and her ability. But if we're not moving the ball through midfield, I think she's a contributor at the very end. And if we're not getting the ball through midfield and getting it up into the attack properly, I don't think she can really show her best. So I think that's kind of what happened, is she kind of disappears in this game. I don't think that she had a lot of impact in the second half, but also I don't think she didn't really have the opportunity to either. So I don't hold this one against her. I don't think there was any situations where she could have been a difference maker, but it's just unfortunate that we weren't really connecting anything. You know, at that point in the game, you know, 55, 60 minutes in.
62nd minute. Gaillard gets fouled. She did the foul. Now she is fouled. But we don't get a call. It's only a foul when we do it.
I think every time somebody falls down in the box, it should be a PK if it's my team. And if it's the other team, it should never be a penalty.
Yep.
Yes, this was... No ref is perfect, but this one was questionable, I will say. I didn't really like... I mean, it's close, but I just think if we're doing arm tugs, then we should do contact, even if it's more side-by-side. Mm-hmm. So, no further comment to save myself trouble.
65th minute, Mackenzie George scores, and then thank God it's ruled offside. So right now, our only ref we like is AR1.
Shout out AR1. Good job checking the net. There's plenty of holes. Yep. at this point in the game, 65th minute and onward, kind of to the 70th, 75th, it becomes how the first half was. A lot of Carolina pressure. They're on the front foot again. Very solid attacking sequences. Again, we're absorbing it well. Like I said, our new defensive setup, these things we're trying out, seem to be working. I feel like our defenders are not bad players. I feel like they've had confidence issues. We were giving up a lot of goals. And in situations like this, where a team is pressuring us pretty consistently, we are not a leaky faucet. We are not letting goals in like this. We let in a penalty, which sucked. And again, you know, one corner that was in a very good spot, whether or not the handball was there, we shouldn't have let the ball get that close anyways. So I think we were keeping it tighter, doing a better job, even building a little bit in the second half. It seems like we found our legs and found a few more passing opportunities through midfield. But I didn't love I just didn't love, you know, what we got doing in our own final, in the final third, and getting forward. We just weren't finding the final touch. During the sequence, Liz Beardsley gets a few more like credited saves. She got two, but nothing that really tested her, just kind of slow rollers that technically are on frame, but nothing that she was really stressed by.
72nd minute, Jordy Listro comes out, Maddie Parsons comes in, Peyton Parsons comes in, and Sandrine also comes out. Now the formation's kind of changed with Maddie up top, and Weber's going to be a little bit farther back in more of like a number 10 role. Shout out to my boyfriend Mike for giving me that one, because yeah. I knew the formation changed, but I forgot the I need to learn the numbers.
Yes. The Parsons double sub are we just being funny, or
yeah, I don't like know. Even the commentator was like, Parsons coming in, no relations.
Yeah.
Or whatever, not related.
I mean, definitely one of them could have come in when Giamona came in, but we seem to like subbing them together. It's kind of fun. I don't know. When it's this late in the season and you're this low in the table, just do stuff for fun. Doesn't matter, I guess. Well, what I will say is that Maddie Parsons' impact is so quick. Literally in the next minute, she has a chance. She ends up getting saved, so she didn't get all the ball. But just like her energy and immediate drive, I just notice every single time she's out there. Huge credit, as always, to Maddie. She... Like I said, I think she's our in the box striker. She is a great player at, I think, hold up play and distribution, but I think also her composure on a final touch is better than any of our other strikers right now. Faith is just new, you know, and she's getting used to playing at a pro level and playing against pro defenders and pro keepers. So I definitely like the idea of Maddie being the one that's in the box and give Faith more of the field to run around. We could find that, you know, maybe she's being such a great finisher in college. Maybe in pro play, she is better on a wing or coming up the middle of the park. So, you know, these are the kinds of things, again, when it's this late in the season and you're this low in the table, that you can try out and maybe discover something in a player that you didn't necessarily sign them for. But if Maddie's the one finishing, you know, a lot of the time, or at least finding herself in opportunities to do it, then I definitely like the idea of her being the one that takes that center, you know, striker position.
79th minute, we get way too close of a shot. It just barely bounces outside the net and off the post. And I think the only reason this ball did not go in is because turf is the worst. And the bounce was just like, it's the technical term for it.
Yes. We learned that in soccer podcasting school. I cannot wait until we play in a grass field.
I can't wait till we have a grass field.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. 89th minute. God bless Maddie Parsons. She has a phenomenal shot on goal. It actually nets us a goal. Thank God. She gets a great long ball from Bissett. It goes to Weber, who gets it to Parsons, who just muscles her way through and gets the goal. I love her so much.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a fantastic goal. And this is what I want out of Faith Weber. When she finds these opportunities, she does seem to find them quite often where she's one-on-one or one-on-two in the box. Like I said a couple episodes ago, she has a great eye for a through ball. This is, I'm talking about Weber. She has a great eye for a through ball, and she's very quick, so she can find that open space. But Maddie Parsons shows that composure, that experience to take the extra touch away from the defender that's on her. The defender goes flailing off to the side, and then she just squares up, looks at the keeper, and is like, I'm going around you, bro. Sorry. And Martinez has no chance at this one. She curves it wide around her. Nothing crazy. It wasn't, she's not bending it like Beckham. She's just taking like a nice finesse touch and doesn't give the keeper a chance. And yeah, super great goal for Maddie Parsons here. This is exactly what I was just talking about. This is what I think her value is, a lot of her value is, but I think Faith Weber could get there. She just needs more experience and needs to calm herself when she's in a situation like that, because I see her take the first shot or take one too many touches because she's trying to find the opening. And Maddie in this sequence was very decisive. She takes the one touch to get free of the defender. She lines up the shot and she takes it. And it's one of the easiest goals I've seen her score. Maybe one of the easiest goals the Sun have scored, just allowing herself to be in open space, finding it and making it and then taking advantage of it. So great, great goal for Maddie there. But in the 89th minute, a little late, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I didn't realize actually it was the 89th minute when she scored it. My internal clock had me like at like the 80th or 85th. I thought we had time. And she did, to her credit, you know, when you're down, she did grab the ball, get it back to midfield very quickly. There was not a lot of celebration, but yeah, I didn't realize it was quite so late in the game.
Neither did I. And I'm sitting there and I'm doing the rewatch and I'm like, when the heck is this goal?
Yeah. It was like right at the end.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And it's also because it was like 7 minutes of extra time, which felt like it went on for an eternity.
Yeah. The hydration breaks, the World Cup commercial breaks now that are FIFA mandated, the like 3 minute timed ones, are the stoppage time is going to be pretty immense over the summer when there's injury stoppages and the hydration breaks, which this match is only 80 degrees. I can only imagine when we get into May and then when the next season starts in August. Yeah, it's going to be hot. So,
yeah. Last note on the match is just 90th minute. It's, I'm assuming Carolina's Taylor Porter might have said something to Nocello. She's not an easy person to get mad. So they both get yellows. It was kind of funny.
I think Nocello might be the instigator.
Okay, that's fair.
I think the
only saying that Carolina because like they're still up by one, so yeah. It's not like, you know, I don't know.
No, Nocello will talk shit from anywhere at any time.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. She's also very easy to rile up.
Yeah. How are we at the end of the game? What were the stats?
One goal, 12 shots, 4 were on target. 49% possession, 7 corners. We only got 1 offside. That's pretty good for us. And 3 yellows. Carolina with 2 goals, 17 shots with 6 on target. 51%. I'm never going to say it right. 51% possession. Three corners, 2 offsides, and 3 yellows.
I don't think you had trouble saying it until I mentioned that it's hard to say. But if you remember when I gave the halftime stats, I just said that we had 53% of the ball because I didn't want to try to say it again.
Oh, that's I need to that.
You made a note about how it wasn't so bad that we were offsides. To be offsides, you have to have a good point. We did not have much of that in this game. I don't know. I feel like we've been pretty doomer in some of our game reviews. Maybe we should take a longer break after a loss because I just feel like totally indifferent about this loss. I mean, if the nail was in the coffin, but like now the nail's being hammered down, you know?
Yeah.
Every point dropped is... Some models have us eliminated already. Not officially. But
yeah, we're very different people because like it was a slog for me to watch that game.
I didn't hate it. I mean,
I was like, I literally turned to Mike and I was like, do I have to watch the second half? And he's like, yes, that's when the goal is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're right.
I mean, I didn't like, I'm not like jazzed, you know, yeah. it was a rough performance. Like I said, though, with the goals, I felt it was a bit unlucky. So ultimately, I don't think we looked like a loser last place team. Like we had still like in spring, we've only had the Brooklyn loss to me is like, we looked like shit straight up. Otherwise, I think we've played in some close games and this is our second loss to a good Carolina that's like on the rise. So it comes at a really unfortunate time where we think if we win all of our games, which we have been playing better, it's not out of the realm of complete possibility. We might have a chance at playoffs. And then we had to face Carolina twice. And a little bit later on, we're done facing Carolina. We have to face Lexington twice. Otherwise, I think we can farm against a DC, a Dallas, a Fort Lauderdale. And we did. We won those games. So I'm not so doomer about the state of the team. I don't think we're making playoffs. I don't think anyone thinks we're making playoffs other than a pipe dream, hopelessly optimistic view of it. But we're not a bad team at this point in the season. If we looked like this at the beginning of the season, we would be in the conversation for playoffs. We just didn't. We didn't do enough in the first half. So we are going to lose a couple games, but this is a one goal game. This is our second one goal loss against Carolina, who again are third. And I think Carolina could beat Lexington and challenge Jacksonville at this point. I don't think they're that far off from being one of the best teams in the league. So
yeah, that is something about Carolina is they are a well-drilled team. If you go look at all of their goal scorers, the top goal scorer only has 4 goals, but they have like 9, probably 10 players at this point who have scored a goal. It is proof that Philip Poole has a system where you can slot in whatever player is supposed to be in that position and the system works really, really well. They have a good bench. They have a good starting roster. And I will say for Philip Poole, I wasn't there, but Mike was. And apparently they were yelling at the coach about the handball. And he's like, was it a handball? And we were like, they were like, yes. He's like, ah, sorry. So it's almost annoying that he's a good coach and he's a nice guy.
Why can he do? Okay. And they improved too. They just picked up Tyler Lucy, and Tyler Lucy on the score sheet twice against us. Goal of the month against us last time we played before this. So not only are they already a good team, they picked up like that final piece that makes them great. And Tyler Lucy got an assist in this game too. So she's been fantastic. There's teams that are better than us in the league. We got to deal with it. There is the smallest bit of hope, if you want to be delusional, Carolina is kind of cementing themselves in third. They're now 4 points clear of Dallas. Dallas has a game in hand, so even if Dallas wins that game, they're still in third. And I think Carolina looks way better than Dallas does in terms of form. So if they finish third and Carolina, Lexington, and Jacksonville take all the points possible off of everyone else, they win all those games, we don't have to pass Carolina. So us losing this game could be, in the insane world where we win the rest of our games, the reason why we would make it and we would sneak in fourth. This is what we needed from the beginning of spring. We needed the third place team and the second and first place team to win out, essentially. And they've dropped points, and the league is pretty competitive. There's a couple teams that seem like they fall out the bottom, but in different parts of the season, all the teams have looked strong. The league posted a few weeks ago a graphic of every team beating everybody. Although Fort Lauderdale beating Carolina was like...
Spokane
was very, Fort Lauderdale wasn't beating a lot of people. So, but overall, it is a pretty competitive league, and there's a lot of points being dropped. So, like I said, to feed your delusions, if you're into that kind of thing, we're out of the playoffs, but we didn't hear no E. And so until until a team literally has more points than we can reach and are in the playoffs, then I guess technically we could still do it. And this was not losing to Dallas or DC or Spokane, who are the teams that we ultimately would need to pass. The harder thing is winning the rest of our games when we have to play away in Lexington twice, although we're better on the road. So maybe those aren't hard games. I don't know. We'll see. Liz, who did you have as your player this match?
I got to hand it to Faith Weber. She was doing her darndest and trying her best. And she was there. She was all 90. Otherwise, honestly, he might have gone to Maddie. But I just got to hand it to Faith Weber for this one.
Yeah, I love the idea of a player of the match only being out there like 20 minutes, but honestly, Maddie Parsons probably deserves that sometimes. Mine goes to Sydney Nocello. I do not have Nocello blindness. She's out there. I'm not going to say some of our opportunities came through her. I think we worked the ball more when we actually had chances at goal, but she brought a lot of energy to the most dead points of the game where we were just not getting anything done. And as always, she attempts to step in, get some dribbles in, gets us up the field a little bit, opens something up. Even if that thing is just making space for other players to move forward. So this one is one where I think Sydney had really great contribution. And we were just unlucky not to have one of those two players or any of our other players find the back of the net. It is what it is. We move on to the future. And our next game is very soon as we record this because we delayed this episode. It is on the 11th. It is a Saturday night game back at Big Jim. Normal time. It's not going to be hot out. That was the other thing about the Easter game. It was at 5 p.m. So the sun was still out. I did not get sunburned. The sunscreen worked. I looked like a ghoul leaving the house, and that was worth it. And notably, this game... this Sunday on the 11th is not a holiday, or this Saturday on the 11th is not a holiday, and ignore the rowdy schedule. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and we're playing DC. I don't think I even said that in the whole, and we're playing against DC. It's fine. We just played them a couple weeks ago. You know, it's fine. It's DC.
We do have a handful of players who will be out for this match. Jordan Zaid is listed as questionable. So you love when your roster has to make a game day decision. Yay. Sydney Schneider and Braylon Gault are both out on international duty, although I don't really think we've seen much of Braylon Gault.
Yeah.
But people love her because everybody was commenting like, good job, B, and everything on her international duty announcement post.
There's a whole world out there of these teams that we don't see. You know,
yeah.
There's training, there's many of them might live together. I don't know what the Super League living situations are, but they definitely can contribute a lot and be well loved, and we might not even ever know. Jordan Zaid being out is not extremely detrimental. I don't think her most recent games have been her best, but she is very quick and she can be a difference maker. She has the potential to be. So I would hope she's in just for options in this game. But she didn't play in the last game, and it was I mean, we lost, but like, I don't think she would have been the difference maker. So, but I would like, I mean, I would like everybody to be healthy for health purposes also. My big thing I'm looking out for is Emery Wegner being back. I hope she is. I hope she's well. I think Liz Beardsley, like I said, she made a great save. She made a couple good collections. I don't think either of the goals were her fault. She didn't make a mistake, but I do be trusting Emery Wegner. So I hope she does return.
There is also something to say that Emery Wegner, I think, maybe has, can, I don't want to say command the back line, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, has, she, I like the way she views the game and I like how the direction she gives the players.
Yeah, she seems much more communicative. And
yeah,
I'm going to say this. I forgot to mention this, but I did have it in my notes that I left at work. Liz Beardsley is also a brand new professional player. She just came out of college as well.
So none of this is to say
that she doesn't have the potential to be a very high quality goalkeeper or that she's not even right now. But in terms of communication and yelling instructions to players that are older than her and have more experience than her, I definitely can understand why she might not have as much of a command as Emery does, who Emery has coaching experience as well as her playing experience. She knows how to direct players. She sees the game or has the experience seeing the game in a more top-down view. So she has a better understanding of how those things go. So that is a bigger part of why I really like Emery Wegner. Seems to be her experience comes into play more often. And Liz is still learning. And I hope I'm sure, you know, like I said, with Emery's coaching experience that Liz can learn things and develop and, you know, grow into the keeper that her potential would imply that she can eventually have, which I think she does.
Yeah. And she did come from the Houston Dash, but you also have to remember the Houston Dash have Jane Campbell, who has been their keeper for the better part of a decade almost. So it's not like anybody else was getting playing time.
Yeah. So still, you can always learn. You can always improve. So definitely no knocks on Liz Beardsley, but Emery, hope you're feeling better. Please come back. just a note on DC here. Their last win was on the 21st of March. So 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2.5 against Spokane. They won 2-0. But most recently, they just lost to Fort Lauderdale United 3-1, which is crazy. Who's losing to Fort Lauderdale? Not even us.
Not even us, man.
So, hopefully they
on the floor.
The bar is on the floor. The bar is in South Florida. hopefully they are devastated and they all hate playing for the team and they suck on Saturday. That's my psychological analysis of where they're at. And also most recently, not most recently, but recently we played them and we won 2-0, 1-0 away up in DC, which we play better away. But I thought we commanded that game really well. I thought we looked the better team than them the whole time. So I would really hope to see a very similar performance. And this could be a team we know we can beat and we have struggled at home. And we just came off of a game where I don't think we were terrible defensively. So if we just work on what we were having issues with building out of the midfield, and we know we can beat this team, that should bring the confidence into it. If we lacked some confidence against Carolina, then feel pretty good about, you know, the potential of us facing this team, having a better showing at home, building something up. I mean, I know we can beat DC. So hopefully we express that again.
You know what makes me feel good about the fact that we might win this game?
Huh?
The very long list of players they have out.
Ours was short.
Which I'm not wishing for people to be injured, but thanks for not playing.
Ours was shorter than it's been for a long time. So I said our injury list was shorter than it's been for a long time. So
they have 6 players out, and a bunch of these are key. So we have Alexis Thoreau. She's got a knee injury. Katrina Gio. All of a sudden, I can't figure out how to say that.
Well, I didn't want to correct you on the first one, but it's Theoret.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tried to be fancy.
I'm sure her lineage appreciates it.
All of a sudden, it's gone in my brain. Either way, she's got a concussion, poor girl. Susanna Fitch, foot injury. Gianna Gordley, who is like their marquee player at this point, has a knee injury. Sarah Wojcicki has a hand injury. She's a keeper. And I don't know, Ellie Gibbert, but she also has a concussion.
Did they run into each other?
So that's one goalkeeper, one forward, two midfielders, and two defenders. Just to kind of see the it's a lot. Yes. And key players. So no offense to DC, but thanks for having injured players when we have to play you when we really, 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 really need points.
Hopefully it helps. I would really like to see, though, not a Brooklyn here. We did not prepare sufficiently, and we did not play our best players against Brooklyn. We lost that game. It infuriated me. It's our worst loss of the season, because when we lost before 3-0, we never had a chance. It was Jacksonville. They're really good. Actually, we lost 3-0 against Brooklyn that same period of time, but we had already been losing, and we were already bad. This half of the season, we look way better, and we did not prepare sufficiently for the Brooklyn game, and we lost. Please play our best team. We had almost a full week of rest, 6 days, you know, Sunday to Saturday. I think everyone should be available. I think we should play our first team. Like I said, if Emery's in, you know, we have a more communicative goalkeeper. Hopefully we can structure. I mean, we didn't even really structure the back line badly in this game against Carolina. So hopefully we can continue to absorb pressure well, build it up, you know, catch them on a counter, use some speed. I think we look really good. To me, I'm looking at Theoret and Gourley out, and I'm just like, I'm pretty sure both of them were involved in goals against us previously in the season, if not their best chances against us. Yeah, DC's only scored against us once ever, so never mind. They were not involved in goals, but they are names that I recognize from being involved in and, you know, attacking plays and being threats to us. So I really think that we should take advantage of this and still put our best foot forward, not play down to the fact that they have an injured squad. Don't rotate our squad. Send it.
I feel for their players, honestly. They have had a rough schedule. They had like 4 days in between playing Lexington on April 1st. Then they played Fort Lauderdale on April 6th. Now they're playing us on April 11th. That's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 games, 11 days is a pretty tight schedule for sure.
Yeah. So, good news for us.
Yeah. That being said, what's your score prediction, Liz?
All right. Because I'm a coward, I'm going to say a 1-1 draw.
Cool. I think we will win. I have us 2-1. I think DC scores their second ever goal on us. Just because some dumb shit's been happening lately. You know, there's a handball, there's a penalty. Maybe we can get a shutout. I'd love to get a shutout, but I think luck says otherwise. So I allowed them one, but only one. Eureka, super producer Eureka, had us at a 0-0 draw. Thinks it's going to be dry as hell. Don't even bother showing up if Eureka is telling you to go to the game. And then James, who is the most knowledgeable out of all of us and leading the like standings, right, for the prediction game.
I think so, yeah.
James is a genius. Read his articles. The article for this match preview is already out. He's Loki the GOAT. And James has it as a 1-1 draw. So even he thinks that goals will be scored, Eureka. Keep that in mind, you know. But yeah, we will be out there on Saturday. It'll be less hot than 5 p.m. on a Sunday. I appreciate that. We'll see who all going to be there, because there's a Rowdies game at the same time. And some people like to see teams win and be undefeated.
So weird, right?
I don't get it.
Who likes that?
I don't know. Shout out
just
the Rowdies
been on the, you know, a tear. They haven't lost yet this season.
Yeah. Top of the table. You know, we could only.
They're not.
Are they not?
Freaking Louisville is still ahead of them. I hate Louisville.
Oh, well, they will be soon because they're unstoppable. Yes. But I won't be there to see it. I'll be there to watch Tampa Bay Sun finish 0-0, according to Eureka, against DC. I almost said DC United. It might as well be, whatever. Against DC Power. Any other notes, Liz? Any feelings?
No, not really. Just I hope I would like to win. I don't have a lot of hope. And I guess now we're just playing for vibes. We're playing for pride.
Playing for vibes. And pretty soon, I think we get to start analyzing lineups and subs from a perspective of who may have a contract next year and who might not have a contract next year. For one, I know we like to sign international players for a 2-year contract, maybe see who we signed last year, who we might still have, who might be leaving. This will be something we'll explore in a future episode, but you know, that's the kind of thing we can think about, because I assume that's the kind of thing that the sporting side of our club is thinking about, what players are incoming and outgoing. And I'm sure the team sheets, as we get into the later parts of the season, will reflect some of that as well. So that'll be interesting conversations coming up. Otherwise, let's just have some fun. Hopefully we beat a team that we know we can beat, and the fans enjoy it on the waterfront.
All right. Make sure you like and subscribe if you're on the YouTubes. Come look at our beautiful faces. At RBLR Sports on YouTube, at RBLR Sun FC on all the socials, Instagram, Twitters, Eureka for the one person on Threads, and Blue Sky. My Blue Sky is down here. It's Lizzie the Lion. And then we have JD. I'll never remember the right way to point. JD is Mom Says I'm Ultra on Twitters. Because I'm still calling it that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what it is. Actually, I've been running some ads on Twitter at work, and a lot of the back end pages of like X for business still say Twitter too. So they also still call it Twitter because they can't be asked to update those. So.
Oh, and make sure you use code HEATWAVE for 10% off at shop.rblrsports.com.
Good stuff on there.
Yes. All right. We will see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.